The Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, beginning at verse 1, and it deals with the Persian Emperor Cyrus, who God had appointed to release the captives in Babylon and usher them back to Jerusalem. So Cyrus was God's servant in this case. Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his service? He hands nations over to him and subdues kings before him. He turns them to dust with his sword, to wind-blown chaff with his bow. He pursues them and moves on unscathed by a path his feet have not traveled before. Who has done this and carried it through, calling forth generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am he. The islands have seen it and fear. The ends of the earth tremble. They approach and come forward. They help each other and say to their companions, be strong. The metal worker encourages the goldsmith, and the one who smooths with the hammer spurs on the one who strikes the anvil. One says of the welding, it is good, and the other nails down the idol so it will not topple. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant, I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 4, beginning at verse 46.
Praise and glory to God.
Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday, at 1 p.m, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ the word.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I still remember the day our little baby was taken from us, not forever, but for a few hours. He He was just 3 days old, and we had to give him over to the care of doctors and paramedics to transport him to a specialist hospital. We were not allowed to travel with him in the ambulance, and so we had to let him go. My wife put him in a portable heated oxygen chamber when he was sleeping. Cords were connected to his toes and chest, and the chamber was closed. He was wheeled to the lift from where he would be taken by ambulance to the large hospital. How had it come to this? Our boy had been born a healthy baby, nearly full term. But when he cried, he was unable to breathe and would nearly suffocate, turning blue. He had been under observation for 2 nights, and the incidence of oxygen deprivation seriously worried doctors. They decided to send him to the specialist hospital. We followed our little son a few hours later after we had made arrangements. There he was sleeping in an intensive care unit surrounded by cables and monitors. He was x-rayed, had ultrasound tests, and doctors crowded around him, pored over the pictures and charts, and researched medical articles. We prayed that our little son would survive. The doctors told us that a vein was probably misaligned, which would not allow him to do much physical exercise, would not allow him to get excited. We would need to be careful when he was eating, careful when he was sick, careful when he was playing, for suffocation could always be imminent. After a few days in intensive care, he was released from the specialist hospital. We were told that we could not let him cry for long, that he would not be able to get too excited. We prayed that God would watch over our little boy, that we could be good parents for him, that he would live. We prayed that our little boy would be able to play, would be able to have a full life, would be able to laugh. We realized that our responsibilities as parents had just gotten a little bit more difficult. Well, our son survived the initial month, and then he had several tests done. Nothing was ever found in those subsequent tests. No misplaced veins, no complication of the airways, nothing. We were told that he is a healthy boy. Now he runs around, wildly shouts, plays. He plays football, can walk up mountains. He has a full life. I look at him at times and wonder whether here we've got our little miracle. And sometimes I hold him just a second longer because I know that we might have well lost him. Did God turn our worry and concern into joy? Did we have a God moment there? There clearly was some healing. Whether the doctors were right with the initial prognosis or not, I don't know. But even so, our boy was sick and now is healthy. Now he can breathe again. And we as parents could breathe a little easier too. I cannot prove that this was a healing by God, but I am grateful nevertheless. Our gospel reading recounts how Jesus healed the son of an official. The official had heard about Jesus, and he was his only hope at that point when his son was close to death. He pleaded that Jesus would come to his home and to heal his son. But Jesus did not come with him to Capernaum. He did not heal in a way that was immediately miraculous. Instead, he said, "Go, your son will live." And the official went, believing that his son would live. His son did recover. And so the official believed, along with all his family. The man could not prove that Jesus healed his son, for Jesus was a day's journey away when his son was healed. It was only the timing that connected Jesus' assurance with the healing of his son. For the official, that was enough. And it was also enough for the writer of the gospel. For John said that the healing was the second sign. There are 7 signs in the Gospel of John, and they all indicate who Jesus is and how God intersects with the world. This was a clear God moment for John when the intersection between the earthly and the heavenly was clear. God had been at work here. God was present in Jesus. Heaven was breaking into the everyday world, God is here with us. In the Old Testament reading from Isaiah, the prophet declared the work of the Lord amongst the people through the gathering in of the exiles. The nation of Judah had been scattered amongst the nations through the cruelty of the Babylonian Empire, but now the Babylonian Empire was conquered by the victor from the east, by Cyrus. And this new conqueror allowed the Jews to return to their homeland. Other nations too celebrated the downfall of Babylon and their newfound freedoms. But the return of the Jews was seen as something more significant by the prophet. He saw God at work through this. God's actions were not shown through a military victory of his people, but rather through accordance with God's word and the world affairs. Israel proclaimed that God was sovereign through his word, that history proceeded according to his will, not through the ascendancy of the people of God, but through God's care of this weak people. The return from exile was a God moment, a breaking in of heaven into the affairs of the world. If people could only see, they would not know how God was at work through this. Even though the conquerors were not part of God's people, even though in their own minds they acted for other reasons, this was the work of God. For in the great flow of history, God acts for God's own purposes and takes care of his people. I wonder, when we have seen or felt God breaking into this world, have we experienced God's healing? Maybe there was no medical proof, but we could see the connection. Have we experienced any particular God moments, or has it been more a steady knowledge that God is here with us? And does this carry us through the hard times when God seems distant, when we are marked by worry and pain? What if the prayers for our children seem to come to nothing? What if trusting in God's word seems strange against the claims of the world? Do we notice God's presence at those hard times? Or does it all become a memory? At times we can't say for sure that it was God who touched our lives at particular time or across the years. We do not have positive proof. But with the eyes of faith, we can see God at work in the world, a God who breaks into this world even amongst the suffering, the human stupidity and the evil. We can see God's healing in a broken world. For if we notice God's presence, we may also notice more keenly everything that seems at odds with God. We only know the fullness of joy if we know something about suffering. And so I would encourage you to take note of those God moments when you see something of God's healing, love, care, and majesty in events surrounding you, in the people near to you, in the beauty of nature, in the quietness of good things. See them through the eyes of faith, through the word of God given to us in Jesus and witnessed to in the Bible. Amen.